commentary. Heard each morning before the 7:30 news on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU. Here's Chris Conley.
The talk of the town in New York City is not the new mayor, Bill de Blasio. He is a socialist once removed, a redistributionist, and his ideas are straightforward and kind of boring. Everyone in New York is talking about 11-year-old DeSante Coates. She's a homeless girl whose life has been documented for the last year and a half by a writer and photographer from the New York Times. Her story has been printed long form in an exhausting and frustrating to read 5-part series. DeSante's story dovetails with Mayor de Blasio's rants about the wealthy and powerful in New York City. DeSante, her mother, stepfather, and 6 siblings live in a single room at an emergency shelter in the Fort Greene neighborhood of Brooklyn. It's a neighborhood that's in transition for the good. Fort Greene is sandwiched in between Brooklyn Heights, one of the most affluent neighborhoods in the city, and Bedford-Stuyvesant, a rough and rundown slum. With rising real estate values, upper yuppies are moving into Fort Greene. They're buying up old brownstones and renovating them into expensive urban dwellings. Just 2 blocks away from DeSante's homeless shelter is a townhouse that just sold for $1.2 million. The working class can no longer afford the rents in this neighborhood. Now, her story is an interesting read. She is a smart kid. She tries to hide that she is a shelter kid, which is a step below the project kids who live nearby in permanent housing. You get the feeling of wasted human potential. She is plucky. She sees inequality in her world, and you know that she would do better if her situation was better. The story is told through the lens of we need to do more for this child. And that's the wrong conclusion. This is really a story of government failure. Consider these facts. New York City spends $1.4 million on the shelter that she lives in, but the city still has security guards who molest the female residents there. The shelter's budget only includes money for 2 microwaves in the cafeteria, so 120 people have to heat up their dinners 2 at a time. There are roaches, rats, mattresses with springs poking through and leaking pipes. They all go unfixed. The janitor at the shelter refuses to remove mice traps. He tells the residents, pick them up yourselves. Somehow this family still has a flat-screen TV in their room and 2 Obama phones. DeSante has access to counseling. Her mother takes the entire tribe on the city bus and pockets the $10 per child that the city offers in cab fare. The New York Times' best estimate is that the city pays $400,000 in welfare costs for this family. And the problem with DeSante's situation is obvious to everyone who reads the story. It's her parents. Her mom and stepdad are both recovering crack addicts. While trying to get clean, they've both become addicted to methadone. She babysits her brothers and sisters while mom and dad are zoned out after their treatments. Neither has a job. They're not even looking. Dad sometimes doesn't get out of bed in the morning and disappears from the family for several days at a time. When he is around, he beats the kids with a belt. Mom gets into street fights if she feels disrespected and steals food from the neighborhood grocery store while the kids wait outside. Social services monitors the family, but there's always a second chance. Food stamps and public assistance debit cards arrive at the beginning of the month and are squandered on beer and fast food. The kids' clothing comes out of dumpsters. The hopeful moment in this story comes in late January when DeSante's family files their taxes. They qualify for a huge earned income tax credit, which is nothing more than welfare via the tax code. Mom and stepdad will get a $5,000 windfall. That's enough for a security deposit on a real apartment and a new start at life. But it doesn't happen. Stepdad's refund is seized by the city of New York. He owes child support for 3 other kids that he has who live with other women. Mom's money is wasted on new fashionable boots for the kids at a birthday party. And a month later, only a few $100 remain. All is not lost. At the end of DeSante's story, the city finds permanent housing for the family, a walk-up apartment in Harlem. She is an athletic kid, and she gets involved with a street team that's doing promotional work for Nike. Her sponsor pays her in Nike gear after learning that her stepdad takes whatever cash she earns. She might escape this generational poverty if she stays off drugs and doesn't get pregnant. There is a lesson in this story, and it's probably lost on New York's new mayor. The village, in the "it takes a village" metaphor, is spending incredible amounts of money and is providing wide and deep support for this impoverished family. But they do nothing to help themselves. These parents are failures, and until a child has effective adults in their life, their situation is hopeless and is unchangeable.